to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4, looking at the miracles of Christ. We're looking at some of his miracles over nature at this point. We saw the miracle of the water being turned to wine. Today we want to see Jesus stilling, calming a storm. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this event. Mark does give the most detail of this particular event, so we'll begin with his account. But in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, down through chapter 5, verse 1. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, that would be his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. The background of this miracle really goes back to Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus manifested his healing powers by healing there a man with a withered hand. As a result of healing that man with a withered hand, the multitudes began to follow Jesus. And Jesus would stop along the way and heal some of them as well. And then we are told that while he was doing that, while he was healing some that were in that multitude, that he healed a particular demon-possessed man. Now, as Jesus and the multitude got close to the seaside, we read in Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, And there was gathered unto him a great multitude. And they're by the sea. They have no place to go at this point. And Matthew tells us that Jesus entered into a ship and his disciples followed him in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. So now we have this great multitude. We have Jesus and the apostles are in a ship. We see Mark 4, verses 1 and 2. Notice what it says there. We get the picture here, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. So they went out a little ways from land, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them. So we have Jesus on this ship with the apostles. They're little ways off from land, the multitude is on the land, and Jesus taught them many things by parables. So Jesus began to teach them in parables. We learn from Matthew that it was at this point that he taught the parable of the soils. It was at this point that he taught the parable of the lamp. and the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed. So he taught several parables. No doubt there was some time that went by, and we read that evening began to approach, and Jesus said to the apostles who were with him in the ship and who had heard his teachings. Keep in mind that the apostles would have heard these parables as well as the multitude. But Jesus said unto them, here in Mark 4, verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. So it's evening, and Jesus says, let's pass over unto the other side. We read in Mark chapter 5 in verse 1 that they actually passed over to the other side. But what interests us is between those two statements, let us pass over unto the other side. And in Mark 5 verse 1, and they came over unto the other side. Between those two statements is the voyage to the other side. Now, this is a picture. This is a picture of our voyage. Our voyage from here to the other side, to heaven. Between the beginning of that voyage and the end of that voyage, of course, is the voyage and the details of that. And I believe we have a picture here of our earthly voyage to the other side. There's some things that we can learn about our life from this miracle. Some things we can learn about our earthly voyage to the other side. The first thing we want to notice is that our voyage to the other side is with Christ. And we're talking about the saved, of course, but we read in verse 35, he said, let us pass over unto the other side. He did not say, you go over to the other side. He said, let us pass over to the other side. He did not say, I will meet you on the other side. He said, let us pass over to the other side. So Christ would be present with them. As these apostles would voyage to the other side of the sea, Jesus Christ would be present with them. And that's true of you and I. Life, of course, is a voyage. And no child of God makes this voyage alone. Never. I've seen people, and to some point I understand, but I try to comfort them. I've seen many people who have spent hours and hours at the bedside of a loved one who is dying. They step out of the room for 5 minutes and the person passes away. And a lot of people have a lot of problem with that. They'll say, I should have been there. I should have been there. They died alone. No, they didn't. No child of God dies alone. Now, I do understand that you want to be there. I understand that. But rest assured, no child of God dies alone. It's not going to happen. And you and I, we pass over to the other side. Now, how we get to the other side, we have no idea.
How we finally get to the other side,
we don't know how that's going to happen. We do know this, that all along the way, He's there. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. Now, if He's with us, that means that we have His company, of course. And whatever is involved in our voyage to the other side, some of us will experience the same things, some of us will experience different things, but whatever it is, our voyage to the other side includes His company. Can't have any better company. It also includes His protection and His care. So we need to always remember this concerning our voyage to the other side. It is with Jesus Christ. But we see also that our voyage to the other side is with a purpose, and there is a specific destination. When Jesus said there in Mark 4, verse 35, "Let us pass over to the other side," did He not have a specific destination in mind? Of course He did. Let us pass over to the other side. He's got a particular destination in mind. And there is a purpose in mind. Did not Jesus know, even in a body of flesh, did not Jesus know everything that would happen during that voyage? He certainly did. He knew everything that would happen during that voyage. And that's true of you and I. Whatever our voyage includes, whatever is included in that voyage, the Lord already knows everything that is going to happen in that voyage. Did He not also know every one of those apostles? And did He not know what each and every one of them would do? Did He not know that they would come to Him and say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Did He not know that they would exercise little faith? He knew it all. He not only knows what's going to happen during the voyage, He knows what you and I are going to do whenever it does happen. There's no unknowns to Christ. He also knew everything that He would do through the voyage. And all of that is still true today. So all through this voyage, the goal was passing over to the other side. That was the purpose. And our life has a purpose. Our voyage to the other side, there's a purpose. And we see there was a specific destination. That destination never, ever changed. And so it is with us. The destination never changes. No matter what happens, things that we enjoy, things that you and I would never choose to happen, all kinds of things happen on the voyage, but the destination never changes. And the destination is always right on schedule. The Lord doesn't get behind schedule. He knows when we're going to reach the other side. And we may have a detour here, we may have a detour there, but the destination is always the same. And so it was here with these apostles. We also notice that the voyage was not without storm. Now, there are a lot of Christians that get in the mindset that if things go wrong in your life, it's because there's sin in your life. There are so many scriptures that prove that not to be so. I mean, the whole book of Job proves that not to be so. But there are so many examples. Now, do I believe that we should examine our life when storms come? Yes, I believe we should examine our life before the storms come.
We ought to always be examining. But just because someone is going through a storm, that doesn't mean that they're backslidden. And for you and I to assume the reason they're having this difficulty is because there's sin in our life, we're no better than Job's friends. That's what they did. So we have to be careful not to look at someone's life and see that they have a life of storms and assume that, well, that they must not be right with God. And then look at someone else who's got smooth sailing and think, well, they must be right with God. Could be wrong in both cases. So we've got to stay away from making those kind of assumptions. Sometimes you and I don't even know why we're going through a storm. Now, if we don't know who are going through it, I find it difficult for someone else to know. But these disciples, think about it. They were with Christ. They were with Christ. They have attended to his ministry. They have heard his teaching. They are in a process of growing in knowledge and in faith. So they were with Christ, yet they were in a storm. Christ loved them. Christ cared deeply for them. And no doubt they loved Christ. But none of those things prevent it. None of those things prevented this storm. Just prior to this, the disciples had spent some alone time with Christ. They had spent some time alone with Christ. And verse 34, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. They had some precious time alone where Jesus Christ explained to them things that he did not explain to anyone else. Yet, in spite of that, they're in a storm. They're in a storm. Not only that, they were actively, obediently following Jesus Christ. They were living their life in obedience to Christ. Yet again, there was a storm. So from all of that, we learn that none of those things guarantee you a storm-free life. If you draw close to the Lord just to avoid storms, it doesn't work that way. Drawing close to God doesn't exempt you from a storm. Drawing close to God to some degree prepares you for a storm. But it does not exempt you from a storm. So the apostles are in obedience to Christ. They're on this voyage, and all of a sudden, there's a storm. Now, storms all through the Word of God are pictures of trials, difficulties, hardships, and struggles of life. So none of these things that we've already mentioned exempt us from trials or difficulties or hardships or struggles. Storms are pictures of adversities. These things do not exempt us from the adversities of life. You know, sometimes when someone's going through a storm, people say, well, I wonder what the Lord's trying to tell them. Well, the Lord's not trying to tell you anything. If the Lord has something to say to you, he's telling you. He's not trying. Now, he may not have your attention. But He's speaking plainly. He's not trying to tell you something. That implies that he might fail in telling you. You may fail to hear, but he will not fail to tell. Storms are pictures of stresses and calamities. You know, the modern day, happiness message is you stay close to Christ, you avoid all stress in life. How false. In fact, my Bible teaches us the opposite. If you stay close to Christ, you're going to have more stress from the world than you would have had you not stayed close to Christ. Storms are pictures of battles. Storms are pictures of obstacles. So, for the child of God, our voyage through this life to the other side, which is heaven, is going to be one of storms. But not one storm can alter the final destination. Not one. There is no storm that can come my way, that can come your way, that is going to alter our destination. Our destination remains the same. The other side. And we need to always keep that in mind. Next week we'll look at the storm that did take place during this voyage, and there are many things that we can learn from about our storms as we look at some of the characteristics of this particular storm. Again, let's look to the Lord. Brother Larry, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?